Afterward to section 14. Music is continuous, said Thoreau. Only listening is intermittent. Whitman teaches us how to listen in this section, inviting us to hear the music of the quotidian, the most spectacular concert of all. Open, open, he counsels readers, to the song of the gander, ya hunk, and the grunt of the nursing sow, and the affections springing from the earth with each step that we take. It turns out that the same old law applies across the board. There is music in these bones. Thoreau's insight inspired John Cage's musical composition, 4 minutes 33 seconds, in which the pianist is instructed not to play for the 4 minutes and 33 seconds that constitute the piece, creating space for the audience to hear what is there, an uncomfortable silence perhaps, and then the sounds, the music of the environment, breathing, waiting. To tune one's ears to such music is no small matter. The premiere of 4 minutes 33 seconds provoked outrage in some quarters. We would rather not hear the music surrounding us. How much we do not want to know. But for those who have ears to hear, there is music even in great pain, a formal feeling, in Emily Dickinson's words, and even for the deaf or hard of hearing. For listening is a sensual matter. We take in the music of creation with our ears and also with our eyes, noses, tongues, and skin. Every fiber of our being yearns to listen, though we stopper our senses, like the homeward-bound sailors in the Odyssey who fill their ears with wax on the approach to the island of the sirens, the enchantresses whose singing is so beautiful that it causes shipwrecks. Nevertheless, it is better to lash ourselves to the mast like Odysseus and listen to that music which will fill his heart with desire than to spend a life in vague longing. If only we can listen, ah, there's the rub, which has its own music.